How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It's August 9th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We have Raw to talk about this evening. We've got some Impact spoilers and a bunch of other stuff as well. And Dave, I know we should probably talk about Raw first, since it was a newsworthy show, but apparently Kurt Angle has, in fact, turned heel. Is that correct?
I don't know. Has he?
Well, you said you had all the stuff, and I had a cursory report, and so I figured you'd have more information.
I just heard that he attacked Crimson, so I guess he turned heel.
Mm. Apparently he did a promo, and he's mad at Dixie for lying to him about Karen and Jeff, and so I guess he doesn't want her to have the company back. And him and Hogan, I guess, teamed up to beat up Sting.
Oh, that's right.
So, there's your answer, everybody, to the question that we talked about this morning. What are they going to do? Are we going to get yet another turn on Impact? Yes, we are. And I can't believe we even started with that here today.
Yeah, and Abyss is turning too, and I don't even know what's up with Mr. Anderson. And, it's just the thing with TNA is, nobody cares, and that's basically it.
Well, if Kurt is the champion and he attacked Crimson, then that would lead one to believe, and how ridiculous was it for me to say that right there, that Crimson is going to win the Bound for Glory series and will have a Crimson-Kurt Angle match at Bound for Glory, which sounds horrible!
Probably. I mean, I just don't put anything past Kurt as far as, but that'll be a challenge, that's for sure.
Sure.
I mean, he got a real good match out of Sting, and I didn't think that was possible either.
Crimson
will be more challenging, that's for sure.
You think Sting is significantly worse than I do.
Well, that's because I talk to the guys in the company, and they say he's completely clueless in the ring with no ideas, no nothing, and unless he's completely led through it, he's hopeless. So that's probably why I say that.
He had a fine live match on. I realize it's with Kurt. But,
that's what I said. Like, Kurt might very well do okay with Crimson. Crimson had a decent match with somebody. I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Bully Ray. But, I mean, decent was probably stretching it. Crimson, yeah, it could be. God, I hope that Crimson doesn't beat Kurt. That would really be horrible.
Let's talk about Raw. That's enough Impact for me. Unless there's anything else of any value on that show that we really need to talk about here.
Well, we might as well go through it.
All right, go for it.
Okay, Immortal was out, and, it's basically Bully Ray browbeating Abyss, because he keeps losing his matches, and that there's a four-way with Gunner, Scott Steiner, Crimson, and Bully Ray. So it's three members of Immortal against Crimson. And so they are going to end the winning streak, and he's going to win the match, Bully Ray, and then he's going to win the championship, I guess, from Kurt. And he said that, Bully Ray attacked Anderson, and they all beat up Anderson and left him laying, and he ended up being stretchered out. So I guess Anderson's out of Immortal.
So he just joined Immortal, and now he's out again.
Yes.
This sounds fascinating.
Yes. Mickey James beat Madison Rayne to keep the Knockouts title, because Madison Rayne lost to Miss Tessmacher this week. So that qualifies her for a championship match. And then Brian Kendrick kept the X Division title, beating Robbie E. Looks like they're building up Brian Kendrick and Austin Aries for the next pay-per-view. And then in a Bound for Glory match, Beer Money beat AJ Styles and Rob Van Dam and a team of Pope and Devon, and when Bobby Roode pinned up Pope. And then Kurt Angle did the interview, which you talked about. Then Tara and Miss Tessmacher beat ODB and Jackie. Now, were they reinstated?
Apparently they were.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They weren't, but that's the only explanation I could come up with for them continuing to compete in TNA.
Yeah, then they did a video. The guy from Big Brother, I guess he's going to be coming in. And he's going to be named Mr. Pectacular.
Well,
I think that was kind of his name on Big Brother anyway. He was a bodybuilder, and they did a video of him, and the video shows him in catering, taking cuts in line ahead of the wrestlers because he thinks that he's like a real star. And the wrestlers don't like him, but he just like ignored them and treated them like he was a big star.
So he's doing the Sin Cara gimmick.
I guess. And then he started flexing in front of the women, the Knockouts. But they were all grossed out by him.
Well, that'll get him over.
Yeah. Then we got Jeff and Karen came out with Jeff is the with his AAA championship. And he had a sombrero on, and he insulted Mexicans. And what happened? Jeff Jarrett started beating up janitors that were Mexican, and Hector Guerrero made the save. So, god damn, Hector Guerrero.
Hmm.
The janitors were some of the Team 3D students, by the way. And then Crimson won the four-way, of course, pinning Gunner. And it was 3-on-1, but Crimson still won.
That sounds like
Gunner,
a horrible
Ray,
match, by the way.
Steiner. And then Kurt Angle attacked Crimson as the show ended, so that was the deal.
So it's 3-on-1, which means you can't hide Crimson by having him go outside the ring or something like that. So,
well,
so essentially,
beat him down and beat him down and beat him down, which is probably what they did the whole match, and then he made his comeback and won.
So he just had to sell, and then do a comeback.
Yes.
I still don't know if that's going to be very good. I
guess
we'll see.
Nothing else he's done has been particularly good, so
I guess
I doubt it would be.
Well, there's Impact, everybody. Let's move on. All right. So Raw, this was the go-home show for the SummerSlam pay-per-view. And we got another long-ass promo, this time at the end of the show. And I will say that I thought this promo was significantly better than last week's because it actually, well, to a degree, promoted the match that's actually taking place on Sunday as opposed to promoting a match that's not taking place on Sunday, which is Triple H versus CM Punk, which is kind of what they did last week on the show.
Well, but now it makes sense because Triple H is going to referee. The problem is that, you know, now the story, instead of the story being John Cena and CM Punk for the championship, now the story is who is Triple H going to cheat to make champion. So it just changes the story. So I think it, I don't know. I thought CM Punk and Cena were really, really good on the promo at the end of the show, and thank God they were, because until that promo I was thinking this is going to be the lowest SummerSlam buy rate in history. I mean, that first hour and 45 minutes wasn't horrible, but it did absolutely nothing for the show. Like, it was like they made no matches, they had no promos, they had no nothing other than Triple H saying he was going to referee. And, you know, I don't even know that that's I suppose a positive when it comes to star power, and some people will say because of intrigue. But in other ways, I think it muddies the match and, you know, kind of makes it into, instead of being like the idea of like who's the real champion, it's like, okay, who's Triple H going to pick to be the champion? Who's he going to cheat for? So it kind of like changes the dynamic of the match. But, you know, the promo at the end was as good as it could be. I don't know.
Well, I thought that both guys did an awesome job. I was really intrigued by the promo, and the people were super into the promo and the things that they were saying to each other, but it kind of was one of those promos that it was directed at an audience that I don't know if that, especially after getting the Money in the Bank buy rate, I don't know if that's the audience that is going to be so intrigued that they're going to have to buy SummerSlam to see what happens in this match. I almost see it as they are very intrigued and they can't wait till next Monday to find out who won.
I don't really think that when it was over, because of the Triple H thing, that it really was all that important who won.
No, that's
the
key. I
think it was important to listen to these guys, and I thought that they made their speeches, but I just don't think that it, when it was over, it was like I didn't really care who won. I just thought I was kind of interested in what they had to say.
So that's very, very, very bad for the SummerSlam buy rate, because you need to make people care who wins.
It might be okay. You know, the other thing, too, is they showed the YouTube promo from The Rock. I mean, somewhat edited, heavily edited, actually. And I actually thought that, I mean, he was tremendous. And, I mean, Punk was really good, too, but it was in a different way. I mean, Rock was tremendous in a way that got over to everyone. And Punk was tremendous in a way that, you know, like for me and stuff, but, you know, it's all that inside stuff that, you know, again, like you said, with Money in the Bank, I mean, how much did that really... I'm listening to this, and I'm going, this is, like, really, really great. But Punk's doing the same thing that he did on the last one, and I don't, you know, and then trying to but it doesn't have the dynamic of him leaving that night and all of those things that the last one had. Now it's I don't know what it is, you know. And
I think the key to the inside promo to sell a pay-per-view is that you still have to go back to the basics. Number one, you have to give people a reason to want to see these two guys have a fight. And then you can put on all the bells and the whistles and the inside commentary and speak to a certain audience. That's all stuff that you have to do on top of the very bottom line basic, why should we buy this pay-per-view? And when the show was over, it was like, God damn, I'd watch that entire promo again. It was really great. They were both awesome, but what does this have to do with Sunday, and why should I care who wins that match, and what does it even matter? Because they flat out said, Cena flat out said, you know, if I lose, I'm still getting the match with Rock at WrestleMania, and nothing is going to change. What a horrible line!
All the pressure's on you, because if you lose, then you're like back to the mid-card. And the thing is, I think that, again, and this is from watching TNA, when they start talking about all the politics and things like that, I think it doesn't sell the match for shit. And also the other one is like, you know, they were doing all their comedy with John Laurinaitis, and that was all well and good, but that shouldn't have been this week. You know, I mean, it's like he's there. Yeah. By the way, you know, an interesting thing that is Vince McMahon decreed that, and you know, he may change his mind next week, but one of the reasons the segment went what it was, Vince decreed that John is not a speaking character anymore because he doesn't like him speaking much.
Really? So, that's fascinating to me after watching the video that I put up on the front page today.
Well, he was pretty funny in that video, I have to say.
He was awesome.
Yeah. But Vince doesn't believe that John can do a promo, so John is going to stand there and Triple H will do the promo. And I'm trying to think what other foibles he had. I mean, that was the only one that I really heard.
Let's talk about this show, and we'll get more into the main promo a little bit later on. Open up with Hunter coming out, and he explained that Sunday was going to be one of the most historic nights in WWE history.
It's going to change the face of wrestling.
As we said, and I was begging for him to.
What do I hate when I hear that one? Because it always underdelivers.
Goldberg's turning heel Sunday. Yeah. Actually, apparently Goldberg has claimed he may be back by the end of the year.
Well, that was an interview that he did like in February or March or something.
Well, he's still got time.
What?
He's still got time.
Yeah, but I mean, he did it before WrestleMania.
That's true.
You know, when it was in Atlanta.
So he said that Sunday there would be one undisputed WWE champion. Of course, there won't be. There's still the world champion, but he mentioned
that. That's what I was thinking, because they kept saying that. It's like, well, what about the other champion?
Well, it doesn't matter. So, actually, you know what? They made such a big deal out of it, and Christian has promised that he's got something to say to Triple H on Friday, so maybe he will actually bring up what bullshit it is that Hunter is not making a big deal out of his championship.
Maybe he's abdicating the championship because it gets no respect.
It could be. Unlikely.
No, I don't think so.
Very unlikely. So, anyway, he said that the match...
Maybe he's going to go on Twitter and get himself fired.
Yeah. Apparently...
By the way, did you hear that they wouldn't let Melina in the building tonight?
I did not hear that.
They would not let Melina... She traveled the run.
Sure.
You know, which they were not happy with whatsoever. But, you know, what were they going to say, right? But when it got to TV, I guess because of the interview they had scripted with Beth, where Beth was going to, like, do the snide remark on her, so they, in fact, told her that she was not welcome in the building, which is just amazing.
Well, and apparently Gail, who quit, has announced that they're not letting her out of her deal.
Well, yeah, they're not going to let her go to TNA until the end of her contract, whenever that is, which... I think it was a 3-year deal. So how long has she been there? I didn't look it up yet, and I can't even remember how long it's been now. Seems like it's been like 2 years, though, probably, right?
I will find out here in a second. But yeah. She's still on the WWE website as well. So
yeah, they haven't released her. They haven't released her yet, even though she quit.
Yeah, they won't even take her off the website. So there you go.
Well, it's probably one of those things, because if they do, you know, it's kind of like when UFC wouldn't strip Randy Couture.
Because
it weakens, in case they have some sort of a legal thing, they don't want to weaken their case.
Actually, she returned in late 2008, so she should almost be ready to go.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then she doesn't have that much time.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, they announced, or he announced, that they needed a special referee. It's going to be himself. And he said that there was going to be a contract signing tonight. There was going to be a match with Cena and Punk, and the Cena match was going to start right now. We had Cena coming out, and he had words with Triple H regarding this, and they weren't mic'd, and so they showed a replay of both guys talking to each other unmic'd, and they told us to listen carefully, and Cena essentially said that he didn't like this. He thought it was Triple H's ego talking.
Yeah, the ego Triple H, that he had to be in the spotlight or something.
And Hunter told him to shut up and don't tell me how to officiate.
Yeah, well, just said because he had to make sure that there's a winner and a loser. And he didn't trust anybody else.
Cena and Jack Swagger had a match. Cena took this one corner. Oh, my God. It was so bad.
Yeah.
The match was fine. Swagger gave him a chop block. And the next thing you knew, Cena made a comeback. No selling his leg. F you. 1, 2, 3. Nobody thought Swagger had a chance of winning. Nobody cared about him at all. They cared about Cena, one of about three people on the show they cared about. And that was
it. They booed the hell out of Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, they cared.
All night, every reference to Cena was booed. And the reference, it was weird, because when Triple H would talk about Cena, every time he mentioned the name Cena, the place just erupted in boos. And when they mentioned Punk, it was like a mixed reaction. But Punk was cheered pretty much, whereas Cena was booed pretty heavily, you know, throughout the show.
Alberto Del Rio was about to do an interview when up walked his Ricardo, who held the mic for him as he explained that he was going to cash in his briefcase at Money in the Bank, but CM Punk had run away like a coward. And he said tonight he was going to show Punk what would have happened had that match taken place. And in hindsight, he was incorrect, by the way.
Yeah, he was.
Showed clips of Truth beating up Morrison 4 months ago, putting him out of action. Truth is now doing these goofy, all-comedy promos like a total mid-card geek. And his livery is great, but it is completely impossible to take him seriously.
Yeah, as a top guy, yeah.
Sure.
He's just a mid-card comedy act, which is fine. I mean, he's entertaining at it, so... And it's not like he's in the main event right now anyway, so...
I don't think it's fine. I think he could be doing significantly better than this.
Well, they're not positioning him on top anyway, so it doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, the one thing that was amazing is this was the week where they were supposed to, like, make all those matches that we talked about last week. They put them all on TV for free.
Uh-huh. We have 4 matches announced for SummerSlam right now. 4!
I talked to some people at WWE, like, pretty much all night, and literally... I mean, nobody knows. I mean, this is the whole card they have. I mean, obviously they're going to add probably 2 or 3 matches, during the week on the internet, or maybe they'll even announce something tomorrow night. But then it would have to be a SmackDown match. But this was literally all that they had done as of today, which
wow.
is amazing. I mean, they had more matches 2 weeks ago than they have now, after Xing them off. Ray, I think a lot of it may also be the situation with Ray. Although I don't know how Ray would X off the Ziggler Alex Riley match, or the what was that other match that they the R-Truth Morrison match. I don't know if they're even going to be on pay-per-view anymore. It was kind of like a clean pinfall with a downward spiral, right? R-Truth and Morrison tonight.
Yeah, that's what Morrison gets for trying to bring his girlfriend into the building.
Well, that's for not keeping her off Twitter as much as I don't think that it was. I think that was probably booked with that finish before they kicked her out of the building. But it all ties in.
Miz was supposed to face Ray, but he destroyed him on the ramp and left him laying.
Yeah, Ray had an MRI done over the weekend. And they don't have the results yet, but he's worried. It's the same knee that he's had 4 or 5 operations on, and here they are plugging him for the championship match in San Diego, and as far as anyone knew, he's not going to be wrestling for the championship in San Diego.
Well, he may have to gut through a match.
I suppose that probably wouldn't be a good idea either.
No, it would not be a good idea, in fact. So, Miz did a promo, said he was pissed off, he's all over TV, he's all over the internet, he's trending worldwide, and meanwhile, he can't get a match at SummerSlam. So,
what does that say about the booking team? I agree with him.
Yeah. He demanded a
ref-ending. Oh God, I want to shoot people when they say that in the body of a show. No, in no other sport do they do that.
He demanded a ref come down, declare him the winner via forfeit. Ref came down, and they announced that rather than a forfeit, Miz was going to get a new opponent right now. It was Miz versus Kofi. They had a fine match. Miz actually took a sunset flip powerbomb off the middle rope and nailed his head on the mat. And if he does not have a concussion, he is the luckiest guy around. And ended up with him hitting his finish, skull-crushing finale out of nowhere for the pin. And
I thought Kofi was really good in this match.
He did a hell of a high cross. So
yeah, he was way up in the air on that. He was like 10 feet in the air, and he did some great leapfrog stuff. And he was really good.
Quite a jumper.
Yeah, well, I mean, they built it around that. You know, I mean, his jumping is so impressive. But I just thought that, you know, everything he did was pretty darn good.
We had Punk on his way to the ring, and Josh showed up and asked him what he thought of the Triple H thing. And he said Hunter had a bigger ego than his father-in-law, which was saying something. Said the title versus title match should have sold plenty of tickets on its own, but nope. Hunter had to stick his nose in there. He said this was bullshit. And he said tonight, Alberto was right. He was going to find out what was going to happen at Money in the Bank, and he was going to go out there and show him what would have happened. So we had the match. Yep, Punk, Alberto Del Rio, not only for free on Raw, but we got a full match with a clean finish. Punk hitting him with the GTS, clean in the middle of the ring for the pinfall.
Well, I mean, I thought that when that was over, it was pretty much, there was, you know.
They telegraphed that Punk wins Sunday, Alberto cashes in on Punk, wins a title.
That's how I took it. I mean, in another era, that is what they would have telegraphed. But now, I mean, they may go in there, and that may have been what they planned. And they may now go, oh, my God, we telegraphed it and changed the whole thing. I mean, that's how whacked out this thing
is
right now.
Yeah, but how, I mean, seriously, I mean, if they change it, they can't change it because they telegraphed it. Because how could you even write this down in advance and not think, huh, this is going to telegraph the finish? And actually, now that I think about it, the finish would make more sense if you had Cena get his win back, you have your even Steven booking, and then Alberto cashes in on Cena, and then Punk says, I pinned you last week, so I want my shot at the title.
That's a good one. And also, the other thing is that you have Triple H screw Punk, because, you know, the fact is there's a Triple H Punk match that's money down the line.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a such thing as money. I mean, it's
well, there's
something down the line.
There's 20% above normal money.
Once in Chicago, where he said he was going to leave town and never come back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's 20% above money just because he's going to wrestle Triple H in 4 months. I mean, it'll be 20% over money when Rock comes back. That one I'll buy. Punk, I'm not so sure.
Beth Phoenix and Eve. There was a joke in here by Lawler that if you got it, fill me in. Cole said, Lawler, big question in this match. Do you like blondes or brunettes? And Lawler says, my last girlfriend was a redhead. And Cole said, she had red hair? And Lawler said, no, she had no hair. She was just a redhead. And there was dead silence, and I have absolutely no idea what the point of this joke was. I don't know if it was something I was missing. I just didn't get it. And that was the highlight of the match. They did some stuff. Eve went for a moonsault. Beth cut her off. Glam slam. And then she cut a promo saying she was sick of girls like Eve and Kelly making a mockery of the division. She said, no more booty popping. No more splits.
No more splits.
That's for sure. And Kelly then ran down and attacked her from behind with the belt and laid her out in a quite heelish act, although she's a babyface. And JR said, I don't like Kelly's chances for Sunday now. And I agreed with him.
Now, in the Beth-Eve match, I thought that match was like... you know, I mean, I guess after that winter match last night, you know, any women's match looks good. But this one still was pretty bad, I thought.
We had the clips of Miz and Cena at the Teen Choice Awards, which was a strange little combo since they just were hanging out like buddies. We had Alex Riley and Dolph Ziggler. I don't know about you, but Riley looked huge and jacked up this week, more so than usual. And he buried Vicky before
more
the match.
More than Dennis
Hallman? More than Dennis Hallman.
Well,
I wasn't talking about his package.
No, Dennis Hallman had a new physique.
Did he?
Completely, yeah. He's on testosterone replacement therapy, and he has a new physique, too.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's
just a coincidence, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, just a coincidence, sure.
Yeah.
By the way, he claimed he wore those shorts on a bet.
Well, then, if he got fired on a bet because he lost a bet, then his people that he bets with are pretty stupid, and he's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So.
We shall see. He has not been fired yet.
Yeah.
Unless you know more than I do.
they're gonna fire the guys who work for the company that didn't stop him from going out there, so I think that he's pretty much fired.
Hmm. Anyway, he buried Vicky, and this being Riley. Not the guy in the shorts. Anyway, she screeched, she screamed, she was so freaking annoying. Go away, Heat. And finally got in the ring, slapped Riley for the DQ, and Dolph and Vicky started screaming. And then Riley punched Dolph. He bumped into Vicky. They both fell down. She kept screaming. This was too much for me.
This was the same exact stuff that that I saw last night with Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn.
So maybe actually they can do this match at SummerSlam since it went to a disqualification, and God knows people are clamoring for the rematch.
Yeah, but we don't know what condition. I mean, they could do it, but well, I guess maybe in a couple days, maybe Dolph will be okay. But, I mean, you know, there was a reason they only went a minute, you know, because Dolph's hurting, too.
Yeah, but think about this. Of all the people to put in the ring with Dolph Ziggler on a day he's hurt, you chose Alex Riley?
Well, that's why they only went a minute, so that's okay. I mean, if he booked it for 10 minutes also, then I would question their judgment.
Hmm.
But they recognized that they had a problem, so they went right to the finish and didn't mess around.
Morrison and Truth, God bless John Morrison, but this guy ain't going to be wrestling at 40. And I hope he's...
Oh, my God, that dive, he almost just killed himself on the ring post. He was like an inch above that ring post when he flew over. That was just crazy.
He did a tornado dive, a twisting dive, running from the inside of the ring over the post to the floor on Truth, which was dumb enough. But then he's standing on the dashboards, and Truth knocked his feet out from under him, and he takes a bump like on his upper back near his neck.
Just coming off of a neck injury. I couldn't believe it.
This guy is just completely... Listen, I respect the guy because he loves pro wrestling this much, but there's stupidity, and that's what this has been of late.
Well, and, I mean, the thing with that tornado dive that he did, there's a reason that guys, when they do the tornado dive, they do it, you know, over the ropes in the middle and not over the post. And I guess he was just trying to show that he could do something that nobody else could. And he did it, so what the hell? I mean, he did it, you know, but and that wouldn't work the risk because, like I said, like an inch lower and he nails that post and he impales him, you know, not impales himself, but he could mess himself up. And he's just coming back from an injury, and I doubt he's anywhere close to 100%. I think he said he was 60% on one side of his body. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad he loves to perform and he's really great. But yeah, these were risks that probably weren't worth taking. Yeah, that one. I mean, again, I've never seen a guy take that bump on the dashboards the way he did.
That was so dumb.
And I mean, right, you know, it wasn't his neck, but it was close enough.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow. I mean, you're just coming back from how many months out? Several months out.
Mm-hmm. Had another poll about who would be champion after SummerSlam. Cena 54%, Punk 46%, Del Rio 0%, although he should have been higher.
Than that, they didn't ask Del Rio. If they did, it would have skewed the poll.
Sure. And then we had the Christian deal about how he and Randy are both going to be wrestling this Friday. Wow, the same booking as Raw. Shocking. And said that he had a very special announcement.
Because nobody watches both shows, in their opinion.
Well, based on my own viewing patterns this week,
so
they may be
that,
right.
We can just do the same angles on both shows.
Sure. Then we had the main event.
Maybe they can both wrestle, one of them can wrestle Swagger and one of them can wrestle Del Rio.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Hunter and Johnny Ace in the ring for the contract signing, and as noted, Punk and Cena went back and forth. Punk had a clip. It was Rock's YouTube shooter promo from a few weeks back. They edited it quite a bit, but it was still awesome.
That was great.
Yeah, they talked issues.
The people gave him a big ovation after that promo was over.
Well, they should have. They discussed various issues, such as the colors that John Cena wears, and whether or not Punk is a phony, whether Cena is a phony. There were some lines back and forth about Hunter's movie roles not being very good. At one point, Hunter said, "How are your movies doing?" And Punk said, "Straight to DVD, just like yours."
Actually, people popped for that line.
Yes, they did. Brought up the firing of Kozlov, Chris Masters, and Harry Smith did not bring up the firing of Molina.
It was so weird. Like, I thought it's where it goes. He goes, Harry Smith, that's his real name, but he just used the work name for the other two guys.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, is he like only shooting, like is one-third shooting or something?
One-third shooting, yes.
Yeah.
So he...
It's funny also when he was with Masters, when he's just putting over how good Chris Masters had improved.
Mm-hmm. He basically said that Hunter was a coward because he had Johnny Ace there to go around and call people, not face-to-face, to fire them.
Well, and, Johnny Ace was a coward. They were both cowards.
Sure, they were both cowards. So, he talked about how he won his first DCW title years back, and Cena had...
I just remember something. I got to bring up about Shane Helms. And that is, did you see Shane Helms, like when all these guys got cut on Friday, and he's in there like, you know, how can... you know, like these guys that never drew a dime in the business make decisions on like who's going to get cut or something like that, or make talent decisions. And I'm just thinking, like, this guy, Shane Helms, has been in this business how many years? 20 years? 18 years? He was in WWE since, you know, for almost 10 years. And it's like he thinks, like, you know, like with that thing, like, well, you know, Johnny Ace never drew money, so therefore. And it's like, does he not think that this is Vince McMahon's decisions? Like, do they actually believe that it's like Johnny Ace, you know, who makes the call, actually is the one who made the call? You know, I mean, he's the one who calls you up on the phone, but it's not like, you know, he sits there and just goes, okay, we're going to fire people. Now I'm going to decide on people fire. I mean, come on. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Who do you think makes those decisions?
Well, it's not Johnny Ace.
No, it's not.
He's not making many decisions on his own.
No, he's out there carrying out people's orders.
Mm-hmm. He's a bad cop.
Yeah, he's bad. He's the bad cop, exactly.
So, as noted, we had each guy cut their promo, and Cena basically said that all eyes are on you Sunday, not me. It doesn't matter if I win or lose. I'm still getting the match with Rock, but if you lose, you're nothing but a loudmouth one-hit wonder. And Punk
Buster
said,
"Buster Douglas."
That's right. And Milli Vanilli, he brought up. And yeah. He said Milli, and then he asked the fans what the other guy's name was, and then he made a point to say Vanilli. I guess that was supposed to be like an insider reference to Punk being vanilla. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into this insider bullshit.
I think you may be reading too much into that one.
Anyway, the point was, they finally were about to get a fight. Ace got in between them. Punk gave him a high kick. Hunter tried to get between them. Cena threw a shot. Everybody went down. Punk rolled outside. We had Punk on the outside. We had Cena, Hunter on the inside. Punk is screaming, and I quote, "Is the fix in, Hunter?" Because I guess, I don't know, he thinks Hunter's going to try and screw him out of the title or something like that. So that's how it ended. And as noted, I don't know. I thought Punk was awesome. I thought Cena was awesome. But again, in the end, I thought, all these people that think this is awesome, and I know there are going to be people that are going to listen to this and say, oh, you know, they're down on this, or, you know, they should be more positive about this thing. All I have to say is, if you're one of those people who thought this promo was awesome and you're not normally watching the shows, or you're not normally buying the pay-per-views, honest to God, are you really buying SummerSlam on Sunday? Because if you're not, then the promo was not effective in what it was designed to do. And I think there are going to be a lot of people that fall into that boat.
Again, when it was over, I will say this. I thought by the end of the show, I was either the same or maybe slightly less interested in seeing the match. And I think that the thing was, it was the Hunter thing at the beginning. Once Hunter was made the referee, it was kind of like, okay, we're not going to have the match because Hunter's going to steal the spotlight and it's going to be all about the referee. You know, and it's a different dynamic. I mean, usually a star referee helps the match. I mean, more often than not. In this case, I don't know that that's the case. In this case, I think it, you know, I think in their minds, because it adds to the star power, and maybe it does. Maybe it does. But to me, you know, maybe their feeling was is like, look, we've already done the match. The rematch isn't going to draw on its own. So we got to throw Hunter in, and everyone's going to know he's going to cheat, but they don't know who he's going to cheat for. And that's what you're paying for. Maybe. I just know that, like, again, like, with going into Chicago, I thought they were going to have a hell of a match. And now, it's like, you know, they may, but it's not about a hell of a match no more. And it's not about, like, anything, like, you know, crazy finish or anything like that. And it's almost half-assed telling you that Del Rio's going to win. Now, they may pull the rug from him again. Who knows? But they probably won't this time, you know, because they sure did beat him clean. Because, I mean, it was almost, you know, I understand the booking. It makes perfect sense for Del Rio to lose if he's going to win the championship, because then you've set up Punk as a viable contender, especially when you set up Ray on television as a contender and he's probably not getting the shot. But I thought that, again, if you're going to do that, I think that you really, you need not to do a four-minute match. You need to do like a 12 or a 13 and have it more competitive back and forth. And because the thing with Del Rio was, it wasn't like he was a number one contender who, you know, lost to a champion in a championship caliber match. It was just like, you know, he really was no different from Jack Swagger. I mean, aside from the fact he had his own ring announcer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really didn't do a whole hell of a lot, and he just got beat clean, you know, quickly. So I don't know that, like, again, you know, Del Rio was not particularly over in the building at all, and if you watch this, it doesn't get the guy over, and he's fixing to be your next world champion, and that should be part of your subplot, is like, we've got to kind of get this guy over since we're going to make him world champion, and the other two guys already are over. So the way they did that, I did not think was good. It wasn't the result that bothered me, but just the way that that match was laid out and the time it was given, I just thought probably not good.
And once again, like I said earlier, there's a time and a place for insider stuff and for approaching an audience that maybe is disgruntled with the product, but you still have to give people a great reason to want to see two guys battle and fight for a championship. And this promo, the entire key to this promo was, if CM Punk loses, he's a one-hit wonder, and if John Cena loses, it doesn't matter. That's exactly what they told us. And that, to me, is, you will be lucky if this comes close to doing what SummerSlam did last year.
Yeah, well, it's hard for me to judge. I don't think it's going to do, I mean, all through the show, I kept thinking it's not going to do even close to what last, not even close, but it was going to do less than last year. By the end of the show, I thought it has a chance to do about the same.
But it's not doing better. I would bet money.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to do better either. I don't feel it. And the other thing is it's all about the one match. I mean, this show is Christian and Orton. You know, come on, didn't mean anything the last couple of times on pay per view. You know, Sheamus and Mark Henry. You know, I mean, it's fine. It's whatever. And then the women's match obviously is not going to mean a thing. And so, you know, you've got, you know, whatever else you got, and you really don't have a lot. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, who, you know, Miz is kind of a star, and who else is kind of a star? I mean, Ray's obviously a big star, but Ray's probably not going to be wrestling, you know, on the, I doubt he's going to wrestle on Sunday. And, you know, Del Rio might, I could see them putting Del Rio against Kingston. I suppose they could do Morrison and R-Truth again. I mean, Morrison is certainly not, you know, I mean, he wrestles like a star, but he's not, certainly not booked like a star. So, they're other than, you know, Cena and Punk and Triple, you know, they got, this is a one match show, and I don't remember too many SummerSlams being one match shows.
All right, now before we get into the questions, what is the update on Sin Cara and his return tomorrow?
Looks like it's gonna be Hunico.
Interesting.
Or Jorge Arias or whatever, but yeah, he's gonna be the one under the Sin Cara mask. And the real Sin Cara is going to be back at some point, probably pretty soon. So there you go.
These men do not look all that alike.
Well, they're going to probably feud the two of them, because I think that their feeling is that, you know, Hunico is pretty good, and he knows Lucha style, and Sin Cara needs a guy who knows Lucha style.
So basically, the fans will be well aware this is not the real Mystico back tomorrow.
I think that I don't know if they're going to, like, you know, push it, or maybe, you know, the real, I don't know how it's going to be, but it's in theory to lead to a feud between the two of them. I don't want to say anything's supposed to, because, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, what can you say? I mean, you got a guy who's, you know, wakes up and, you know, doesn't want somebody to talk, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And next week, who knows what he's going to think? I mean, they had a pay-per-view card, you know, the whole card laid out, you know, Friday of a week ago, and now they have nothing. And there's not even a real reason why, other than, you know, Ray got hurt, but what does that have to do with the other matches?
Well, like I said, I mean, they didn't have a finish in the Ziggler match, and if he's okay to go, they can always put that match together.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a good match.
Well, it's a match. They've got to have matches on the show.
I guess they have to fill time.
Yeah. Unless you want to have a 90-minute match with Cena and Punk.
I heard that. I have a feeling they're going to have to go. They're going to have to go. Look at this. They're going to have to go long. Because even if you have Ziggler and Alex Riley, they can't give them too much time because it won't be good. Sheamus and Mark Henry, they can't give them too much time or it won't be good. Kelly and Beth Phoenix, my God, if they give them 5 minutes, they're asking for trouble. So, that's the whole card except for Cena and Punk. Well, and Orton and the Orton match. I mean, you know, the Orton match can go as long as they want it to go, obviously, because, you know, those guys are, you know, they can certainly do a long match.
All right, well, let's get into the questions here. We haven't done these for a while, so let's do a few of them. It says, I know Brian attends a lot of the Hall of Fame, so my question, at WrestleMania 24, the Ric Flair Hall of Fame, The Rock was there, and just having watched this past weekend, I found it interesting that even then, The Rock and John Cena were going at it. Rock made reference to the Marine being awful, and then he also mentioned there were three guys he wanted to wrestle, HBK, A Mystery, and Cena. My question is, did this start the potential feud, and have they been working us since this time? Or was there not even any thought that this may one day happen?
He wasn't, at that point, he wasn't committed to ever doing another match. So, but I think that he kind of, you know, when it first started, which was the stuff in, when John Cena did the thing in the sun, okay, that was an angle, and it was Vince, it wasn't Cena. You know, Vince told him to do it thinking, you know, long-term ahead that, you know, this would be a great match to do at some point. But Rock wasn't even on board at that point. And Rock wasn't particularly happy, but, you know, once they, you know, had their talk, and it's like, well, you know, it's out there already, so let's naturally follow up. So, I mean, I think at that point, it was one of those things where if I do come back, I'm leaving it open-ended, but I don't think they had anything really planned at the time, because he was still of the mindset that he was not going to do a wrestling match. But then when he came back this year, you know, it was like, at first, you know, I don't think he was going to do a match, but I think that once he was around the surroundings and everything, he kind of knew that he had to. So he's, you know, and that was obviously the guy to do it with. So it's like, was it an angle when he was insulting with the Hall of Fame for a match? Yes and no. It was an angle for something down the line, but not. It wasn't like 100% at the time. It was just, you know, because he was insulting Jericho too, and you know, I mean, you know, and some other people, but. You know, I mean, I think it was more, it was a half-ass, maybe we'll do an angle at some point down the line, but when he did it, it was actually probably more a receipt because he figured that he owed Cena something and he was going to do it in public forum.
How popular is UFC proven to be in Japan in comparisons to its homegrown promotions?
UFC is not really that popular in Japan right now, but I think that, like, if they went there for a show, the first show would probably sell out just because a lot of American stuff will go to Japan and do well just because it's authentic American thing. And they know that UFC is kind of a big deal. But, I mean, as far as, like, UFC coming back on a regular basis, I think they'd have the same, it'd be similar to what WWE does. I mean, when WWE, after years and years and years, went back there, it was, like, a really big deal for a couple tours. But, you know, each time that, you know, they had smaller arenas and you know, it was less of a big deal. But WWE, I don't even know what the UFC television situation is in Japan right now. But there are, you know, like, the people there are aware of it. And, I mean, as far as, like, is it more popular than Dream? You know, Dream's not popular either. You know, and the other groups are all, you know, like, family and friends groups, basically, you know, where, you know, those are the people that go. It's like, so the whole MMA scene is just not strong there. But I think that, like, if UFC comes in February to the Saitama Super Arena, I think they'll draw very well.
Let's see. Whose idea was it in WCW to start having heel wrestlers or factions, the Four Horsemen versus Dungeon of Doom, fight one another?
I think, well, if you're talking about Dungeon of Doom, that was probably Kevin Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. All right, this person says in a recent Observer Radio, Dave said, Scott Hall came up with Sting's crow gimmick. Was it Hall's idea for Sting to rappel from the rafters as well? And if not, who came up with that entrance?
It wasn't Scott Hall, and I don't know who did it. And here's, you know, the funniest thing about Scott Hall and the crow gimmick is that Hall had no clue about what the crow was.
Yes.
It was actually Kevin Nash for, Kevin Nash dressed up as the crow once, and Scott Hall had no idea what it was, okay? But when it came to the Sting thing, and this was not, he didn't dress up as the crow for wrestling. He dressed up for the crow.
Halloween.
I don't even know if it was Halloween, but let's pretend it was Halloween. He dressed up to dress up. Let's just say that. And Scott Hall just goes, you know, like they, you know, they're trying to figure out like what Sting to do. He goes, you know, how about how, you know, Kevin used to dress in that, you know, that one day. And it was, oh, the crow. Scott had no idea it was the crow, but it was actually his idea.
Sure.
So, because he saw Kevin Nash dress like that once.
He also says, I was watching the very Best of Nitro DVD. Sting rappelled from the rafters of the Alamo Dome. Seemed like it took him forever, and he looked blown up after the rappel. It struck me how absurd it was for Sting to rappel from such a great height. I wondered whose idea was this was, and was Sting an experienced rappeller when he started the gimmick?
No, he was not experienced at all, but after a while, he became experienced because he did it every week.
Mm-hmm.
Or not every week, but he did it many weeks.
Person says, got a lot of wacky WCW questions. What was the story behind the one-man gang Kensuke Sasaki U.S. title match? Title change. It's Arcade 96. Gang pin Sasuke Sasaki and posed with the title, which aired on TV at a later date. But in the arena, they restarted the match, and Sasaki won it, and WCW only acknowledged the gang win.
Yeah, well, that was because they had Japanese photographers there, and Sasaki in Japan was so much of a bigger star than One Man Gang, and in Japan, wins and losses matter. So for saving face and things like that, for Japan, it didn't look good for Sasaki to lose. So the Japanese story was, you know, the American refs, screwed him, and he came back and, you know, won later, but they didn't give him the title. So it was just kind of like, it was to protect him for Japan, basically. And in our market, they didn't show it because it didn't matter in our market, but it was for Sasaki's market and to protect him.
This person says, are Jeff and Matt Hardy currently being paid while not wrestling in Impact Wrestling? What's the deal with why they aren't being used? And has Jeff gone to rehab yet or have any intentions of doing so?
As far as I know, he has not gone to rehab. I don't believe that they're being... I don't know exactly what their deal is, if, you know, what they're being paid, what they're not being paid. I know they're both suspended, though. And as far as when they come back, I don't know, you know, the answer to that either.
This person says, is there any heat between Dana White and Mauro Ranallo? I know Dana can't stand when the media hypes, but Dana seemed to dislike Mauro.
Well, they had that argument on The Score the other day about Fedor. I mean, as far as dislike him, there's an interesting deal there. I mean, I don't know what Dana thinks of Mauro. I know what he thinks of Frank Shamrock. And it's just really bizarre in the sense that, you know, they're under contract to Showtime. So it's like, as long as Showtime's going to broadcast MMA, Showtime's got creative control of the broadcast. So those guys are going to be the announcers. And, you know, I mean, Dana and Frank got into a Twitter war like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And then I was thinking, God, you know, that's it for Frank. And in fact, it wasn't it for Frank because he's going to be announcing as long as his contract is on with Showtime. As long as, you know, I mean, if this when his contract runs out, Showtime may make the decision not to use him. But Showtime's going to do their own thing. I don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of interesting things as far as the TV front with MMA going on right now. You know, and again, you got a lot of people. You know, Bellator. Well, Bellator is kind of eyeing Spike, and Pro Elite is eyeing Showtime. Both thinking that, you know, if UFC goes somewhere else, that they're going to be the ones in there, and it's going to be interesting because I really believe that Showtime is going to. You know, I mean, obviously the time switch move tells me that they're losing. I don't say losing interest in MMA, but it's not as high a priority because if it was, they wouldn't move them to a worse time slot. But I think they're still going to keep having MMA because I think they think that it helps, you know, bring them subscribers, and it's another sport for them to have.
All right, let's do one more here. This person says, in 2008 on Raw, was a plan to have William Regal eventually win the title? He was getting massive heat from crowds before his steroid bust.
No, Vince doesn't believe in William Regal as a wrestler whatsoever. You know, I mean, Triple H likes him, and that's why, you know, he's still there, and he'll probably wind up being an agent or a coach, and then probably a real good one. But, I mean, Vince had this, you know, there was a long, long period where Vince, you know, if you remember, Regal would have his matches on TV, and they would always go a minute because Vince thought he didn't know how to work, which, I mean, I know that's going to amuse some people, but that, you know, because he had a different style, and Vince thought that, in fact, he didn't know how to work, so Vince liked him in the sense that he's a great promo, but Vince didn't think he was a good worker. So he would let him promo and do the one-minute matches, but no way would Vince ever make him world champion, no.
And that is it from today, or for today. We're going to have a brand new Figure Four out tomorrow. We'll have a brand new Observer out on Wednesday. We've got tons of stuff up on the site right now, including a bunch of shows from the last three or four days. Mike Coughlin's going to be on Figure Four Daily tomorrow. That's right, as a guest. So it should be a fun time. We got a lot of questions on the board for him. So check it all out, and we'll talk to you again after a while.